on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to the Nationwide Program on Radio Miraya. My name is Helen Toby. Today we are having a discussion on public awareness of coronavirus, officially known as COVID-19. Well, globally, over 2.6 million people have been infected by the virus that has devastated the world, with over 25,000 cases in Africa. Although in South Sudan, there are a few confirmed cases and efforts are being put in place to curb the spread of the pandemic. These measures include travel restrictions, curfews, ban on public gatherings, among other measures. Now, today joining us for the discussion are members of the Citizens COVID-19 Task Force. Kindly introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Thank you so much. Farid Musa Fataki is my name, a volunteer with the Citizen Task Force on COVID-19.
Thank you. I'm Michael Lopuke Lotiam, a volunteer on Citizen Task Force.
Okay, well, you can also join the conversation later by calling us on our lines, which is 0912062950. That's the women's line, and the men's line is 0912062079. Or you can alternatively send us a text message on 0929693205. Now, the Citizens Task Force on COVID-19 has been doing a lot of awareness on the pandemic. Can you tell us more about what your group has been doing? Let's start with you, Michael Opuke.
Thank you, Helen, Toby, and all the listeners of Mirai FM across the country and the rest of the world. It is a honor for us to be here today as members of the Citizen Task Force COVID-19 on the purpose of creating public awareness on the current pandemic. Mm-hmm. Citizen Task Force on COVID-19 is a group of South Sudanese and any other person, not only restricted to South Sudanese only, from all walks of life, who are engaged in civic engagement or civic participation as individual or group in addressing the current pandemic on COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we are.
Okay.
So we are from different walks of life. If you have to make it more precisely, any individual, whether you are in the military, you are in the police, you are in NGO, civil society organization, as long as you feel you would like to volunteer for the dissemination of in awareness or current the necessary information that can help our citizens in South Sudan in addressing the current pandemic.
Okay.
Issue. This is what we are.
Okay, so there are people who are at the grassroots level who really need much information about COVID-19. There are some people who really don't know what COVID-19 is. Can you tell us how you're disseminating this information on COVID-19 to people at the grassroots level, Musa Farid?
Yeah, thank you so much. As Michael has rightly put it, we are a volunteer group that comes from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
We have structures already all over the country that we have people in all the 10 states and the major towns that are already volunteers in this. So awareness is not only at the Juba level, but also at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
We do both the urban and the rural areas. We cater for that because we are mindful that our people needs to get to know the dangers, to get to know how they can prevent this, to get to know how they can be safe. So indeed, and this is the added advantage that the Citizen Task Force brings to complement the efforts of the high-level task force, that because the high-level task force is mainly at Juba level, but then because of our structures down, then we complement our efforts to make sure that this reaches out in the whole country.
Okay, so what kind of strategies or communication outreach are you using to get to people across the country?
To begin with, one, we're already in advanced stages to launch out a road show.
Mm-hmm.
That there will be a truck that will be moving from village to village, from town to town in Juba here, so that we can already get people aware, and even the POCs and in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
So this is already in advanced stages, maybe tomorrow or tomorrow next, it will start. At the state levels, already our colleagues are already in advanced plans of having a door-to-door campaign where volunteers will be moving from door to door, talking to the people, because while we are doing this, we are mindful that we don't need to pull the crowd. Social distancing is one of the ways to prevent this. So move in without causing much anxiety, aware that people need to be sensitized. So they'll be moving to home to talk to people in this regard. And of course, we have already also, we have already met with the high-level task force to discuss how this can be done, mm-hmm. and everything is so far tick.
Okay.
Also, on the same note, mm-hmm. we are able to reach to the grassroots through electronic media. We created a WhatsApp group in which everybody who is interested to join us is welcome. And then we also have a policy brief. So every week we pick an issue within the contents of what the situation, we analyze it, and we put it as a policy paper brief. And this is very helpful to us. So and these are how we are able to reach to all. And also, we are engaging our masses through the current media. Like now, we are able to, through Mira FM and all other FMs across the, at least within Juba, that we are able to reach. And we are also encouraging all the radio stations at the state level that they should be able to at least welcome in volunteers that are ready, who are informed, and they are ready to at least to disseminate the information to the citizens through various different languages. Just for example, the last minutes before we started our talk show, mm-hmm. was the Toposa adverts, which is very good, and I'm seeing that this kind of awareness is replicated in all our indigenous languages.
Okay. Musa Farid had earlier mentioned that right soon you're starting an awareness campaign, a door-to-door awareness campaign, and also you'll be having trucks moving from towns to towns or villages to villages. Now, how are you going to engage people who are out of Juba in this process? Are you going to? Do you have all volunteers who are going to use other languages to deliver the information to the people?
Yeah, the truck will be moving mainly with jingles that already taking care of the having the messages from WHO on the awareness on the COVID-19 that we have messages in Dinka, in Bari, English and Juba Arabic. So, like I said, the truck is currently a plan for Juba.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be only in the. It will move from the POC, Shirikat, Konyokonyo, Gudele, and up to Lomungaba, Jebel Dinka. All those places, the truck will be able to cover for 14 days. So that is what I had stated earlier on, and I think that is the plan. We also have a team of youth who are joining us to do the door-to-door campaign. While the truck will be moving for them, they'll be going door-to-door. And of course, we have an advance team messages to the leaders in those particular areas where the truck will be, to ask the people to remain put and listen to the messages, not to come to the truck, so that we avoid the crowding.
Okay. Yeah. So one of your strategies is to avoid crowding, because one of the measures is to avoid social distancing. How is the task force engaging people in enforcing orders by the government that have been pushed in place by the government, like restrictions and what, educating them on that and other World Health Organization guidelines?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think that's why we needed to understand the structure. It's very unfortunate that our colleague from the task force, from the high-level task force, who's supposed to be with us here, is not around.
Mm-hmm.
He should have told us about the structure of the task force and the mandate of the task force, high-level task force, because already us as the season task force, we are getting a challenge on how that can be done, because we feel that a lot of information should be flowing out there, because, you know, the high-level task force is a policy level, as you know, presidency, ministerial. They give orders. And how these orders are being taken by the common people needs to also be, to be monitored. It's because we cannot be continuously giving orders without understanding whether they are effective, whether they are efficient or not. This is already a concern to us. But that's why we wanted that discussion with them. We feel that the structure should be very clear, much as they have the policy level and the technical team. How can the other bodies that are, because it's a collective responsibility, how can the others hang in? How can they bring their contribution in so that people benefit from it? So the issue of the structure, I think, is a concern. Like, for instance, the curfew. Mm-hmm. By now, we should be doing analysis. 8 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. How has it helped us in combating the COVID-19? But you know that the feedback is not coming, because the orders are given, they are put in place. So we need, and this is why this is like Michael puts it, that we are a team of diverse, different people. We need to already be given the opportunity to have a working relationship with the high level task force to do the analysis, to do, because then when is it ending?
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. And there are so many other measures, like, for instance, state to state movement. The orders does not explain that, but then it needs to be explained for you, the common person, to understand how is it benefiting him or how is it benefiting them, and the feedback is given in that regard, because we don't just have to copy paste. We need to contextualize these orders.
Okay, so you're saying there is a need for a broad analysis on the measures that has been put in place by the government. You as the citizen task force on COVID-19, Michael Lopuke, what have you done in your part? Have you contributed to anything, like doing an analysis on what is happening? Are these measures being implemented? What kind of impact has it created to the country?
Thank you, Helen. Our role as citizen task force is to complement and to further enlarge the responsibility of the national high-level task force. Like, if you are fighting, you need different groups of soldiers, logistics, you need those food, and you need air, and all this, you need communication. Now, this is a war on COVID-19. It requires every individual in this country to contribute his or her best in curbing this. So what we have done, we have the first thing that we did was to introduce policy brief paper. That is where we pick a topic and analyze it. I personally, together with my colleagues, we have analyzed on issue of security, how the security personnel are handling the current situation. We are talking of, okay, this is the curfew from 7:30 to 6 a.m. And there shouldn't be a large gathering of people. But if you look into the police van, vehicle, Land Cruiser, you will find that there are more than 20 in one Land Cruiser pickup. Are they immune to this pandemic? What comes? Okay, if they are handling this situation, are they protected? This is our advocacy as citizens. And we are trying to say that they should be protected more before even they come, in order to control the situation within the cities or the town. And this is our advocacy. And in doing so, we are able to create an alert to the national high-level task force that, okay, something is missing. Yes, they come with the policies, they come with the orders, but who is implementing these orders? And how are these orders are being monitored and evaluated? Mm-hmm. And if they are not seeing it, how they are going, so we complement it.
Okay.
And as volunteers, we do that.
Okay.
And so, hopefully, before the end of this week, we'll also have another brief policy paper on the impact of coronavirus, COVID-19, on education.
Okay. Now, after the Citizens Task Force come up with these policy papers, do you forward it to the high-level task force so that they can look into it and maybe add their own views and how this can be implemented?
Yes, thank you so much. And that is the challenge that we are having.
Mm-hmm.
We met them, and there was, for instance, a contact given to us on how we can liaise with them. But apparently that contact is silent. We understand maybe they are overwhelmed. And that's the need why we need to complement each other. Now, how do we give these feedbacks? Like you have rightly asked and Michael has put it, we have this analysis done because we do the monitoring. And I believe other people are doing it there. But the high-level task force, without understanding the structure, how then do we feed this analysis to them? How then do we tell them that, look, this is working or this is not working or something needs to be done? That is the reason why we felt that the structure needs to be understood, not only by the Citizen Task Force, but by everybody, so that, yeah, how can we improve? Like Michael put, it's a collective responsibility. So they need to really come clean and say, because how we can support. We have already, as the Citizen Task Force, handled so many of this national level engagement, and we have the experience, like for instance elections, then we monitor the election all over the country. So we understand what is at stake. Perhaps a discussion on how we can compare notes is very, very needed. And that's why I said it's very unfortunate that nobody from the high level task force is here to take this up and maybe make it more useful.
Yeah. And also further to that is that the Citizen Task Force should not be misunderstood with the civil society organization.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Farid is either represent one of the civil society organization. I am a private citizen. I don't represent any civil society organization. I'm here on civic engagement for the interests of this country and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we are. And I'm appealing to every individual that you don't need to be a member of an NGO, a member of or a civil servant, or a man in uniform, or a woman in uniform. You need to be who, whatever you can be able to, please come and join us.
Okay.
We are all doing it voluntarily. We are not trying to look into how we can be rewarded or not. Based on what we know, we collect either through electronic media, we have access to the global media that inform us of what is this pandemic about and how we can prevent it. Then we inform our people. We also, there are other issues also that are arising, like issues of xenophobia, issues of economic situation deteriorating, issues of health, other health. Now we are no longer talking about other issues that were already bothering us. But we also, in this situation, we need to be alert in all this. How do we try to focus and try to make sure that we are able to educate our people on all this?
Okay. You've mentioned a lot on what is happening right now in South Sudan in regards to the issue of COVID-19. And as we know, social distancing is one of the major issues in the country. People are still gathering in churches, in funeral places, and other places. And Farid has also mentioned that there are forces who sit together, those ones who are supposed to implement these guidelines on COVID-19, and they're not observing the social distancing guidelines. So what do you think the high-level task force on COVID-19 should do in regards to this issue and the gap that you are having with them?
Yeah, thank you so much. True, that social distancing is still a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and we see that it's mainly it's not the low people who are doing that, but mainly the affluent people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our strategy is to call on the leadership to try and address this. A short video of, say, 1 minute talking to the people. If, for instance, the person of the president says that, Ajama, funerals are banned for this and that. We are not saying that don't bury your dead, but let's not crowd because the crowding is dangerous for us. I think that will help. We are now appealing to the high level and eminent people to try and tackle such issues. And any other WHO protocol that is, we see that it is not being enforced properly, we are urging to the big people to try and talk about it so that it reaches to the people and sink for them to understand that it is a problem. I know the South Sudanese culture is we need to mourn our dead, we need to be together. Mm-hmm. Even now, even the issue of the greeting is a problem, but we have a challenge. We have a disease at hand that is killing. It's not a joke. Yes, we may not have recorded a death in South Sudan, but if you see this experience elsewhere, people are dying. So we don't need to reach the level of people seeing others dying, then we wake up and begin. But we need to act now. And I'm also using this opportunity to tell people out there, Jama, let's maintain the distance. Let's not move in a crowd. Mm-hmm. Let's avoid the funerals. Let's avoid the markets. At least do your marketing once in a week. Go buy things and stock. That way we can avoid the crowds. And the social distancing really is a challenge, and these are the measures that we are trying to put in place.
Okay, and now in the case of South Sudan, there are so many people who really still don't believe that COVID-19 exists, because some are still ignorant with the measures that have been put in place by the government, like handshakes. Others are still shaking hands. Others are still sitting together. Michael Lopoke, what do you think? How do you think can the mentality of these people, how do you think can it be changed?
I tend to not really to think that, seeing from what is already happening, taking shape in the country, majority of the people, citizens, whether from within the major cities, mm-hmm. or towns, are getting the message. There are those who are able to see through the major media outlets like the CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, and all others, seeing mm-hmm. the pictures of people, and even listening to that America is burying more than 2,400 people a day. Italy is burying more than 1,000 people a day. And people are listening. And also, I'm also very grateful for our preachers, although, of course, they are not in their pulpits, mm-hmm. but there are ways in which they are able to send the message. Italy, or be it the Vatican, has come to a standstill, not spiritually, but physically. But still, our faith is very strong, that at least our men and women of faith, of goodwill, are able to communicate to the people and say, "You look, people are dying. You don't need to ignore it. You don't want to wait until you see that you are burying your neighbors or your relatives, that now you will believe that this is going to happen." I wish, and I forgot, maybe in the next question that you will be asking, I will rather communicate it in the local language, because actually, mm-hmm. the more we talk in English, the more we deny mm-hmm. thousands of our people from getting the message that we are here today. I'm sorry for that. Please, my apologies to all the listeners.
Okay.
And I would just like to add there that in regard to the question you have just asked, that's why we need continuous engagement, mm-hmm. and continuous monitoring. That if we talk to them, it's not just one time. People need to be told over and over, this is a danger, this is a danger, mm-hmm. until they will understand. And that's why we volunteer to do that.
Okay. Yeah. So there is need for continuous engagement of the public, mm-hmm. and also the public have to take measures into their hands. Yeah. They have to take their own steps to ensure that they're protected, mm-hmm. From COVID-19. Well, you're listening to the National Program on Radio Mirror, and we're discussing about public awareness on coronavirus, officially known as COVID-19. And with me in the studio is Musa Farid and Michael Opuke from the Citizens COVID-19 Task Force. You can also join us in the conversation after the break on 0912062955. That's the women's line. The men's line is 0912062079. Or you can alternatively send us a text message giving us your comments or a question on 0929693205.
You're listening to Radio Miraya.
My name is Joy Charles. We need peace in this country, and governments to implement this peace and stop the war first. To bring peace, let the government bring all the opposition forces or opposition leaders, those who are in the bush, to come and then join the government and the national dialogue show that to bring sustainable peace in the country.
South Sudan, a new dawn, a new beginning. Let's celebrate the peace. Alaikum salam.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Well, indeed, this is the Nationwide program on Radio Miraya. My name is Helen Toby, and we're having a discussion about public awareness on coronavirus. And my guests in the studio are members of the Citizen COVID-19 Task Force. We are going to be picking some of your calls. Let's first start with an SMS here. We are having someone saying, good evening, Helen Toby and the guests. My question is, we are all aware that precaution measures are put in place by closing markets, advising people to stay at home. But in some countries, when government closed the things, there must be food distribution, but it is not happening here. What is your take, as Citizens Task Force? This is Aken Deng Deng from Lologo.
Yeah, thank you so much, Helen. I just want to begin by saying that we are Citizen Task Force on COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Citizen Task Force on COVID-19, and like we have said, ours is to do a lot of analysis and see how to sensitize our people. This question, we will definitely, if we get the opportunity, put it to the high-level task force to address the food distribution, because this is... We will take it as a voice from the people, and that is the concern that they are raising. And of course, when we get an answer, we'll definitely come back to...
Okay. Deng Deng, there, you have to understand that the COVID-19 Task Force, the Citizen COVID-19 Task Force, is, they are just citizens like you, ordinary people like you. You can even be a member.
Yeah.
So let's go to another SMS. Call me Dr. Math Kate from Eastern Equatoria, Torit. I am not sure of any measures being implemented without state governors. What if corona continues for a year? Michael Opoke, what do you think about this? They're saying that there is a gap in the states.
There is a huge vacuum. Mm-hmm. Definitely, every citizen is concerned about the vacuum that is now created, especially with the functionalities of our 10 states and counties. And I don't want to repeat what is many people are talking. As of today, there was a the IGAD conference on the same issue, and I'm sure we'll get the communication from it. So we are all hoping that at least the government get fully formed, mm-hmm. so that at least all the structures from the national to the Burma level take shape, and at least that we will be able to work and address this issue.
Okay.
And this vacuum is indeed is worrying, and definitely I hope our leadership is looking to it and is working on it.
Dr. Math K from Eastern Equatoria, we hope your question has been answered there. We're going to pick one of the calls. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Hello.
Yes, what's your name and where are you calling from?
You're speaking to Jackson from WOW.
Okay. You're welcome to Radio Miraya.
Yeah, I just want to... yes, let me first begin by appreciating the guests we have in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest of the people who have joined us in this conversation today.
Okay.
There is one point that I just need to condemn, and which you say it is the ignorance of the South Sudanese. In fact, this is not ignorant. If one could understand what we are going through, it is, of course, a suffering, because you can't just stay at home for 24 hours, to stay at home for 7 days, and for 1 month when you have nothing in the house. The guest talked of stocking once and you stay at home, but some of us, we depend on daily... On daily hustling, we get what we get at the end of the day is what we survive on. So how can you convince someone like me who is having a family and who is also catering for other things to stay at home for 1 month when I'm not doing anything and I'm not being supplied with anything. So how can you convince me with that one?
Okay.
That's my question to the guys in the studio.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a listener from WOW. He's talking about staying at home for a very long time and without getting anything for their families. What do you think the government should do? Because they're saying they cannot stay at home for like a month without anything, doing their businesses.
Thank you so much. I think I agree with Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time when we should be asking the high-level task force.
Mm-hmm.
They have already received donations. People are donating food items, non-food items, and there's no plan on how this is being distributed to the beneficiaries. I think the high-level task force should come clean and tell the people how much they have received, because it's all about the transparency and accountability,
mm-hmm.
that how much has been received and how it is going to be distributed. I understand things like the bed, the hospital beds and so on will go into the treatment aspect of it, but the food donations, the soap donations, the money, I think the citizens have the right to hear from, to know how this is going to be done, and that will allay or answer the question Jackson is putting.
Okay.
Anabordo Deneshkor Jackson fi swala lo kelem fi hagiga ita kana yano situation au kaman teregal hakuma bitena fi jinub Sudan aleno be ino anas ma galfini galizol keligen fi bet takulu kulu fa ita kan gano yan guat bitena fi jinub Sudan hakuma bugul lazim yukon fi yukon suno yukon fi fasil be na nafarin au ma yan teregal na gadin nasa fi jinub Sudan de ma ze teregal nas gadin fi Italy wale gadin fi New York wale gadin fi mahalat al shinu al sab shedid wo hata dhatu ita kanayenu fi bilat anin al it asar shedid be coronavirus yan tama bayin zol fi seka lakin fi jinub Sudan anas lisa machine lakin hakuma bugul shinu keli lazim yukun shinu fi fasil be na nas fi dukan bukun muftu wana barf taban al kalam de kulu shinu wo shokol fi zol shakhal yomiyan alela bemshi baamul shokol le bilga hago bagder sado machinu mabed bita fa kalam zeden na bagder nugul felan ehna ka sod bita shinu bita muatnin anna bordo bagder shinu bagder gedimu kalam de aw swal le shinu le hay tax force asan bagder shufu fa definitely I will invest another time here to discuss more about the impact of COVID-19 on education. Leana yale na bar of quiz asade yal alkan belga akil bitam alketir minkin min sabab minkin bashrob medida nahar minkin bakul belila ul bakul akil sa wahid sa itnashar udekan akil muhim fi haya bitam asa yali kulu shinu biga fi bed u abu umu ma bagder shinu ma bagder udiloman shinu bagder udiloman akil aha yalil saha bitam haya kun kef u izawade istemir bitriga zede lahadi zaman na ma barafu hal sahab da yalle bukun kef
okay
fa ana mader nadkhul fi modo de asade lakin ana mutmenne inshallah bordo ma zumla anna bagder neji na nakash fil modo de
okay let's pick another call. Hello Radio Miraya.
Hello,
yes, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is me, Moses Mawa.
Okay, Moses Mawa, you're welcome
from Monuke here.
Okay.
Yeah, just for me, what I want to say, it is better to put those containers for washing hands, like in a bus park here. Something like a 50 containers in a bus park, so that people, if you just stand like that, you get a container for washing your hands. But those things, if you move from here, like from here up to Budele, you will not get any container for washing your hands, but you are failing to wash your hands.
Okay.
That is all.
Okay, thank you, Mawa. from Monuki. Mao is saying that there is need for washing containers to be put on the streets of Juba. What do you think about this?
Absolutely. And I feel that that's the point where we reach out to everybody out there to make donations. Let's not wait for the government. All of us, like for instance, as in task force, we are calling upon everybody to donate so that such need by Mao can be met. Because it's important to wash our hands, it's important to use soap to wash our hands so that we can prevent the COVID-19. I also want to take this opportunity. Somebody was asking what is the difference between coronavirus and COVID-19. COVID-19 is a short form of the coronavirus disease. So that is to answer that person.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another SMS that is coming from Will. Does Citizen Tax Force get funds? Which procedures are there in joining the initiative? And is the initiative only operating in Juba? And do you include states? This is Mayen Luol Dut from Apare Rest in Awil Town.
Thank you so much, Mayen, for that question. Like we said, the Citizen Task Force on COVID-19 is a voluntary coming together of the citizens of South Sudan and foreign nationals working and living in South Sudan. You are free to join. We don't have funds. We contribute. It's voluntary, and the contribution is from us. Like coming to Miraya studio here, I have to provide my own transport and come and talk to you so that we can prevent this. So we don't have designated funds, but however, there's an appeal already from amongst ourselves and other people to try and donate so that we can have funds to manage this. To join us, we have the number 0924664431. That is our WhatsApp number. Kindly just send a message and you will be added on the WhatsApp group so that you can continue the discussion and make your contribution there. And also we have the Facebook page, which is a Citizen Task Force on COVID-19 SS.
Okay.
That is our Facebook page. You can like the page, and then you can get a lot of information, and you can also join the colleagues in how the Citizen Task Force is handling this.
Okay, so Mayen, I hope your answer there. You can join the group if you wish.
And also to say, we already have so many, over 157 volunteers online,
okay,
and over 33 on SMS. So you can already, like the number I've given, you can already be there. And just to thank that is to say over 157 members are all over the South, all over South Sudan. It's not only in Juba. Mm-hmm. We're already having members from Awil, from Wau, from Warab, from Bentiu, from Malakal, Torit, Yambio. And the next is now to try and see how can these people come together so that they can do something at the local level. So it's not only the initiative at Juba level, but also at the state level, like I said earlier.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, because of time, Michael Lopuke, can you tell us what do you think should be done by each and everyone in regards to this issue of COVID-19?
We need to take personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for the step taken by the presidency for at least joining the rest of the countries in trying to address or trying to curb this pandemic. Especially, we are already suffering as people of South Sudan. We don't need to count or the litany of our problems in this country. So I'm here as a citizen, not representing any institution. By virtue of being a citizen of South Sudan, I have the civic responsibility to help my people all over this country. And I appeal to every young, old, medium, whoever is listening, to take that personal responsibility in trying to create civic education to our citizens at every level. You don't need to be in Juba in order to join the Citizen Task Force. You can be in your payam, you can be in your county, you can be in your state, you can equally as the number has already been given. This number is very important because we get very important, valuable information, mm-hmm. messages that we post there. And you will be able to benefit from that, and you will be able to disseminate the same from that WhatsApp group. Thank you.
Okay. Musa Farid.
In my conclusion, I would like to pay tribute to one of my classmate, colleague, who has just been during the news. It was announced of his demise, that is John Kennedy Okema. Mm-hmm. I happened to spend my life with him in the class from intermediate through to secondary school in St. Mary Minor Seminary and St. Lawrence. So it is hard to learn of his death, and may his soul rest in peace.
Oh, well, may his soul rest in peace. Now, Musa Farid, can you give us in 30 seconds your last remarks as we conclude the show?
Thank you so much. We thank Miraya for the opportunity, and we thank our listeners out there and everybody who is making an effort to combat the COVID-19. I appeal to the high-level task force to come clean and explain their structure so that people can contribute. It's a collective responsibility. People out there, they want to know how they can make good of this. And also, I think we need to look at how these laws are being enforced, whether we are doing the right thing or we are short somewhere. I think mm-hmm. that evaluation needs to be done, and the monitoring aspect needs to be done. Coordination with coordination efforts with the other actors, that how can we all come together and combine and do this. And also, I think the high level task force should be able to give us lights on how their outreach and communications, what is their outreach and communication strategy for combating the COVID-19, mm-hmm. and of course they should be mindful of the citizens' expectations.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on the Nationwide program this evening. We have been talking more about public awareness on coronavirus, and my guests in the studio are members of the Citizen COVID-19 Task Force. Join my colleague Gabriel Shadaro on the second hour of the Nationwide program, where we're going to get more stories from across the country. My name is Helen Toby.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.